11. Having said this, Jesus was lifted up in a cloud before their eyes and taken from their sight. They were still gazing up into the heavens when two messengers dressed in white stood beside them. "You Galileans, why are you standing here looking up at the skies?" they asked. "Jesus, who has been taken from you, this same Jesus will return in the same way you watched him go into heaven." And John 14, 25 through 29. "I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say unto you, I'm going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to God, because God is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe."
There are many stories of people entering heaven alive throughout the various religions. Entering heaven alive is usually referred to as ascension. I grew up believing that Jesus alone had experienced ascension, but according to the Jewish Midrash, eight different people went to heaven alive: Elijah, Sirach, Enoch, Elizur, Hiram, Ebed-Melech, Jabez, and Bithia. And yes, I think I said those correctly. Islamic teaching states that Muhammad ascended into heaven alive at the site of the Dome of the Rock. In the Hindu epic, Mahabharata, Yadhirishthira is believed to be the only human to cross the plain between the mortals in heaven in his mortal body. The Eastern Orthodox Christian churches teach us that Enoch, Elijah, and the Virgin Mary were taken bodily into heaven. But today, on this sixth Sunday of Easter, we remember and retell the story of Jesus the Christ's ascension into heaven. The book of Acts is all about the acts and actions that the apostles took after Jesus ascended. In the ninth verse of the first chapter, the manuscript recounts, "Jesus was lifted up in a cloud before their eyes and taken from their sight." Then what? What do you do when your leader or your mentor, your boss or your teacher, your manager or your supervisor, your sensei or your spiritual director exits stage left? Usually, we need a replacement. Or in the very least, we need some help and guidance to direct us toward our next good and healthy steps for our lives. We need to not feel alone or abandoned. When I first came out and began identifying with the LGBT community in college, I was working part-time at the new Barnes & Noble bookstore on 63rd and May Avenue. On my breaks, I would peruse the magazines, which almost covered the entire south wall of the store. When no one was looking, I would take down the Curve and Advocate LGBT interest magazines. However, I didn't have enough expendable income to purchase them. I became friends with one of the guys who worked in the back receiving room of the store. At the end of the month, it would be his job to take all the magazines off the rack that hadn't sold, rip off the covers, and send them back to the manufacturer, and then recycle the coverless, unsold magazines. After working together for some time, he and I had built a friendship, and we came out to each other. My friend started saving the unsold LGBT magazines for me to take home. The most prominent magazine in the pile was called The Advocate. The Advocate has a rich history. This American LGBT interest magazine was established in 1967. It's the oldest and largest LGBT periodical in the United States, and the only surviving one of its kind that was founded before the 1969 Stonewall riots in New York City, which marked the official beginning of the LGBT rights movement. The Advocate was first published as a local newspaper by the activist group in Los Angeles called Pride. And Pride actually stood for something. It stood for personal rights and defense and education. It was inspired by a police raid on an LA gay bar in 1967 and the demonstrations against police brutality in the months following that raid. The Advocate is known for covering events important to the LGBT community and has featured many famous coming out interviews, including Ellen DeGeneres, George Michael, Chaz Bono, and Melissa Etheridge. When I would get those recycled magazines and take them back to my dorm room to read, I could see and experience that I was not alone. The voices and viewpoints in that magazine showed me that there was an entire community that I was a part of. The articles helped me to navigate difficult situations that LGBT people encounter. The title of the magazine was not lost on me. The word advocate is synonymous with supporter or upholder or promoter. It means a spokesperson, a campaigner, a fighter, a crusader, a backer. I did feel like such magazines and literature advocated for me and my community. So what do we do when we need help and guidance to direct us towards the next good and healthy choices for our lives? When we need to feel not alone or abandoned. Jesus told the disciples that although he would be leaving them soon, he was going to be sending them a parakletos. When I first heard that Greek word in college, I thought, a what? A parakeet? But no, this word is made up of two parts. The first, para, means alongside, and the serakletos means called. So literally, Jesus was sending to them the one called alongside. In its historical context, this word referred to the Greek law courts and spoke of someone who helped you out in court, an advocate, one who helped you to plead your case. But it also meant one who comforts in times of difficulty, a counselor, a helper, a comforter, a defender, and an intercessor. This advocate, this parakletos, the one who was called alongside of us, is the Holy Spirit. I know we could all use someone to come alongside of us, especially when we are hurt or hurting. Whenever I used to get hurt as a child, the fix-all solution seemed to be a Band-Aid. The Band-Aid would usually fall off when I was playing outside, and I never bothered to reapply it. But as an adult, I had been trained to cover my wounds so that they could heal properly and promptly. If the Band-Aid got wet and came off, I would responsibly reapply a new one. But what I started to notice was that if I kept a Band-Aid on my wound 24/7, the skin underneath the bandage would remain soft and sensitive. The Band-Aid did help to protect my cut from being further irritated by outside debris, and the Band-Aid certainly protected me from further scratching or harming an already injured part of my body. But if I was able to take the bandage off during the night, the wound had an opportunity to air out, to scab over, and to heal more quickly. I still covered it during the day, but at night I would expose the wound to the night air, and I learned that the hurt parts of myself, when given an opportunity to breathe, felt better and healed more quickly. Our contemporary reading for today speaks to us of such principles. We live in between the states of aliveness and woundedness. The author counsels repeatedly, the cost of not expressing who we are turns out to be woundedness. Not surfacing who we are and what we believe results in self-echo, dividedness, and isolation. When we keep our owies wrapped so tightly that they can't air out, when we never tell others who we are or how we feel. The risk that comes with constant woundedness is implosion. I had a UCC pastor colleague in Minnesota who recently shared with me a brave and scary practice in his church. From time to time, a member of his congregation would come to him to express a wound that they were experiencing. It could be an addiction or illness. It might be something that they were confessing or something they were ashamed of. Whenever the wound was shared in the privacy of the pastor's office, he would comfort and affirm the person, and then he would say, "So, when do you think you'll be able and willing to share your testimony about this wound with the congregation?" Giving light and air and exposure to wounds facilitates healing. Secrecy, hiddenness, and shame perpetuate our woundedness. Indeed, it takes bravery to share and expose our wounds with others, but the person or community witnessing and listening to these wounds has an equally brave and important role as well. When someone shares a hurt with us, we are called to practice holy listening. This means we do not try to jump in and fix the hurt that they are experiencing. We do not judge the wound that is shared. We do not turn the focus on ourselves and start telling about our own similar owies. But we listen mindfully, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to use our attention and our non-judgmental compassion to be a healing balm to those who have been afflicted. This weekend is marked on our liturgical calendar also as Holocaust Remembrance Sunday. 1 week after the celebration of Jewish Passover, we remember the suffering inflicted on millions of European Jews by the Nazis. Talk about woundedness. We cannot forget the past evils of human history, such as the Holocaust or slavery in the United States, because if we forget, gloss over, or keep these wounds tightly bandaged without allowing them to heal out in the open, then we become susceptible to repeating the infliction of these wounds. Today is also the beginning of Mental Health Awareness Month. The reason we focus on mental health, especially in a time when so much stigma and misunderstanding has resulted in the defunding of programs and support for this illness, is so that the wounds we all bear regarding this topic can receive healing in the light of day. Mental health seems to touch almost every family that I have ever met. The opposite side of woundedness is aliveness. Aliveness comes from fully expressing who we are. Aliveness results in connection and wholeness. Everything has an opportunity to come alive when our wounds are given air to heal. Jesus, the epitome of aliveness, fully expressed who he was and how he felt. He lived fully alive up even until the moment of his ascension. And he desires the same for us and wisely sends help to come alongside us to aid with our wounds and encourage us to live fully alive as well. Who or what can you identify as an advocate in your life right now? Where is this Holy Spirit, this Parakletos, showing up, coming alongside, teaching, and reminding us how to heal and express our true self? It may come from the wisdom of a book or literature, a magazine even. Advocacy may come online, in person, or through community. This week, I would like for us to consider what owies and hurts and wounds we have bound tightly, and rightfully so because they hurt. But can we imagine unbandaging our wounds for a little while at a time, allowing the Holy Spirit to move over those places of hurt in our lives? Can we envision receiving comfort and affirmation about those parts of us that have been wounded, and then to share our testimony with the wider community? In community, we collectively hear and remember the wounds of all of our pasts. We do not have to remember and suffer from our histories alone, but we can all hold a sacred remembrance. We can remove stigmas and refuse to allow the wounds from the past to repeat themselves. May we advocate for one another, walk alongside, and offer comfort. May we engage in holy listening when others share their wounds with us. And may we receive the invitation to walk towards that which brings us most alive in our lives. May it be so. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer.